right, here we go. 5:07 on the Central Coast. It is a Friday, December 3rd, 2021. I'm Dave Congleton. In about an hour, we're going to give Heather Hoff a few minutes from Mothers for Nuclear. A couple events coming up. I'm going to give her a chance to promote. And then we'll go to Last Call, our Friday night open line, and give you a chance to talk about whatever is on your mind. This hour, what's on my mind is this case out of Michigan. If you haven't been following it, the parents of a 15-year-old boy accused of fatally shooting four classmates at a Michigan high school were criminally charged Friday, an extraordinarily rare move to hold parents accountable when a minor uses their weapon in a school shooting. In announcing the charges, Oakland County prosecutor, and this is about, I think, 50 miles north of Detroit, Karen McDonald shared chilling new details about the behavior of James and Jennifer Crumbly, parents of Oxford High School shooting suspect Ethan Crumbly, in the days leading up to the rampage. As of Friday night, multiple law enforcement authorities said they are looking for the Crumblies. Attorneys said in a statement the couple had left town the night of the shooting for their own safety and would return to be arraigned. In fact, I think we just heard on the update that they have been located. At this point, I want to bring our good friend and regular contributor, Matt Hoy, into this broadcast. His website is restrictedarms.com. Matt, good afternoon to you. Appreciate you joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me, Dave. I wish that I wasn't too often called after one of these school shootings, but I understand the need to discuss it with someone who, you know, knows some things, I guess.
Well, yeah. And you know, I hear the news, and I've been reading the news stories, and it's very disturbing to me. But I also know that it's early in the story yet, and we don't know the complete picture.
Yeah. And I always kind of hesitate to want to jump to some of these things, and I kind of would have counseled the prosecutor to do the same here. You know, you don't, you've got the shooter in custody, and I'm not going to name him because I don't like naming them, because they, you know, that I think feeds further ones and giving them fame and whatnot. But they've got the shooter in custody. There is absolutely no rush to charge the parents. Get your ducks in a row and then do it. I think, I'm not sure how well this is going to stand up against the parents. I think the parents were stupid in multiple ways. But whether that rises to the level of manslaughter, I'm not sure. I'm not a lawyer. Lawyers are probably going to have to weigh in on that. But there was the talk earlier today was that they had fled and they were looking for the parents. And, you know, maybe you shouldn't have your press conference till you've got them in custody. Just a thought.
Yeah. So what do we know for sure so far, Matt? What seems to be the narrative? The parents bought a gun for their son?
Yeah, not illegal. The parents bought their 15-year-old son a handgun, a Sig Sauer. It's a Palmer gun, shoots 9mm cartridges, comes with a 15-round magazine. They bought that for him for Christmas. There's, you know, some outrage that the parents had taken him, you know, to the gun range to shoot it, as if, you know, doing that with kids should be illegal or something. You know, I think parents should teach their children, especially if they've got guns in the house, to be respectful of them and how to use them and how to use them safely. On the flip side, you know, they kept this gun apparently in a bedside table or something like that.
Yes.
And their kid has emotional problems. He's acting out in class. They're coming to school and having to deal with him. You know, I'm not in favor of, you know, so-called safe storage laws, where it's you're required to keep them locked up and away from your kids, because there have been instances where 12, 13, 14-year-old kids have had to get a gun to defend their family, and they have done that. So, you know, having it locked up no matter what, I think, is a mistake in some cases. This case, if your kid is having these behavioral problems, if you see this, you know, if he's drawing these pictures of, you know, shootings and saying, you know, something along the lines of, you know, I want to die and that sort of thing, you probably ought to keep your firearms locked up.
Yeah, because just to underscore what you're saying, they bought the gun on November 26th, and they kept it stored in an unlocked dresser drawer in the parents' bedroom. You mentioned, Matt, emotional issues with the young man in question, and which also gets to one of the issues here. Reading from the article, 3 days after the gun was purchased, a day before the shooting, a teacher noticed the shooter using his cell phone to search for information on firearm ammunition. The mother did not respond when the school contacted her via voicemail about her son's inappropriate search. Instead, the mother exchanged a text message with her son that read, quote, LOL, I'm not mad at you. You have to learn not to get caught. Yikes.
Yeah, you know, the thing about that is, if this is a normal, well-adjusted kid, I don't think that that's necessarily a warning sign, frankly. You know, that's, you know, there are kids that go out hunting with their families. And if, you know, if instead of a handgun, if his parents had bought him a hunting rifle and he was looking at, you know, how much ammunition for, you know, the hunting rifle is going to cost him, he shouldn't be doing that in school, period. But, you know, I've been in classrooms with high school students. They do all sorts of searches. That alone doesn't disturb me.
Right. But even with the mother,
if I was a teacher in that class, I'd tell them, knock it off. Don't, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that. But I probably wouldn't have reported it.
But the mother saying you have to learn not to get caught,
I think that's more along the lines of don't get caught, you know, not doing schoolwork in class. Mm-hmm. That's kind of that one. That example doesn't strike me as necessarily, you know, super negligent or indicative of what he was going to do.
All right, I've got to
knowing or being able to expect what he was going to do.
I want to go long on their first segment because I want to get the basic facts out on the table with Matt Hoy from RestrictedArms.com. Again, quoting the article, the school's concerns grew more acute the morning of the shooting. The parents had been summoned to a meeting by school administrators after a teacher found a troubling note in the shooter's desk. It contained a drawing of semi-automatic handgun pointing at the words, quote, the thoughts won't stop, help me. Another section of the note had a drawing of a bullet with the words, quote, blood everywhere. There was also a drawing of a bloody figure with two gunshot wounds. So, but here's the deal, is that the parents, the teacher found this note. The parents were brought into the school at 10 a.m. that day. They all met in the counselor's office. Nobody searched the kid's backpack or anything. The school said, basically, we think your son has a problem and he should get professional help within the next 24 to 48 hours. The parents refused, or let's just be fair here, they chose not to take their son out of the school. The parents left. The kid started shooting that afternoon. What's going on here, Matt?
There's also that. See, that note is the red flag. That should be setting off alarms like crazy. The parents, whatever happens with the criminal part of this, the parents are going to be living under a freeway overpass. They are going to be sued into the poorhouse for this, and they deserve it. The school has some serious issues too. I can't imagine how you know, if I'm the teacher and I see that note and I report it to the administration, I can't imagine that the school resource officer doesn't search him and any of his property and his locker, if they've got lockers, I don't know if they do. His locker, his backpack, his person. Seeing that note as well, I don't see why he isn't immediately suspended from school. You let him go back to the classroom? The parents are going to be living under an overpass. The school district better get a dang good lawyer, too, because they're going to be paying out millions of dollars as well. I guarantee it. I guarantee the school district's going to be paying out millions of dollars as well. I had, when I was substitute teaching, I had a kid say he was going to shoot another kid in front of me in a classroom. I reported it immediately. They had two school safety officers, you know, two security officers come, including the police officer. Took both the students out of class. They were both, and they didn't come back that day. They didn't come back, either of them, for the rest of the week. And I assume, and you know, there has not been a shooting at Paso Robles High School, and I think that student that said that is probably graduated by now. But, or is no longer in school, aged out. But that's kind of the way to handle it. You know, parents were called in, they sat down, the student suspended, and you've got to make sure that that was an empty threat. And it wasn't empty, you know, from what I was told, it was an empty threat. He didn't have access to a gun, he doesn't have a gun, you know, all that other sort of stuff. But the school should have taken this far more seriously than they did. Oh, we think you should get him help within 24 and 48 hours, and he can go back to class. Whoever's making that decision probably ought to be in another line of work at the school district.
All right, let me get this break in. Otherwise, I'll be in another line of work. We are in conversation with Matt Hoy. His website is restrictedarms.com. Talking about this case out of Michigan that has a been in the news in the last few days, and the question about whether or not the parents of a 15-year-old shooter can now be held accountable for involuntary manslaughter. We'll pick up the conversation. Your phone call still to come. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show. It is a tool that apparently more prosecutors across the country are considering, and that is when a young person becomes a mass shooter, seeking to hold the parents accountable, as in this case in Michigan that we are discussing. Four high school students dead because of the action of one student. Now prosecutors have filed charges against both parents on involuntary manslaughter. We are in conversation with Matt Hoy. His website is restrictedarms.com. And Matt, as we're back with you, I just want to emphasize, you are not defending the parents. I don't hear that at all.
These are horrible parents. They're horrible parents. Because you can be sure that, and I'm sure it'll come out in the coming days, that there's a lot of things that led up to this. This wasn't the past 2 days and boom, and you know, boom, this happens. I can almost guarantee you they're going to look into it. There's a history. I mean, you don't call the parents, you know, into the office about talking about, you know, behavior problems the first time. You know, usually it's just a phone call or an email. So there's going to be a long tail on this where you're going to find out more and more. And more people knew, you know, that there was something wrong with this kid, and the parents didn't get him help. The school didn't get him help. There were failures all over the place. Does this mean that, you know, the parents should be charged with involuntary manslaughter? I don't know. If you can prove it, great. But what was outlined by the prosecutor in that press conference, quite a bit of that stuff seems like it would also apply to, you know, officials at the school district. You know, I again, my mind is still blown why he was not sent home. immediately and suspended until further notice.
Or at least his backpack searched.
That too. I mean, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I've seen online. You see every time one of these things happens. We need to pass more gun control. And that's something the prosecutor said too. We need to pass better gun control laws. This kid broke a ton of them. You know, you're not. It's against the law to bring a firearm onto campus. It's against the law for a minor to be carrying a firearm. It's against the law, you know, to shoot other people. It's against the law, you know. There's a whole list of it. I'm not sure what law that could have been passed would have stopped this. You could say, you know, a safe storage law, which Michigan has declined to, has, you know, people have offered that legislation, and it hasn't gotten any traction in Michigan. That might have, but would these parents have followed that law in the first place? You know, maybe you would have been able to charge them under that. You certainly would have been able to charge them under that law, but that doesn't stop this tragedy from occurring.
There have been four cases where the parents have been prosecuted. The harshest penalty among those cases was a sentence of more than 2 years in prison for a man charged with involuntary manslaughter after a six-year-old boy found his gun in a shoebox and killed a classmate.
And, you know, I think there's a qualitative difference there between a six-year-old and a 15-year-old. And, you know, you certainly hold a parent more responsible for what a six-year-old does than what a teenager does. I'm just, you know, I'm not sure. Best of luck to the prosecutor. I mean, the parents need to feel some serious pain. I'm not sure how, if this will fly, though.
I've got about a minute before the news break, but quoting Daniel Webster from Johns Hopkins University, if you look at school shootings, Matt, the overwhelming majority are committed by students, and the overwhelming majority of those students have guns that they brought from their homes or relatives' home. It goes back, I guess, to whether or not we want guns to be secured.
Well, even if you want guns, I mean, the Newtown shooting, The guy killed his mother to get to the guns. If you really want a gun in this world, you can get it. And, you know, that's people who are willing to break the law to kill other people because they're angry aren't going to be stopped by, you know, laws, you know, universal background checks or those sorts of laws. They'll ignore them. We've got a situation, I think, where we've got a lot of broken young men who are mad and angry. And I think the root of this is a mental health problem. And that's something that we as a society need to deal with.
We are in conversation with Matt Hoy from RestrictedArms.com. Talking about this case of Michigan, the parents being charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter because their son killed four other high school students. Is this the wave of the future? How do we feel about this? We'll take your phone calls as we continue. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show. All right, if you're just joining us, we are in conversation with Matt Hoy. His website is restrictedarms.com. We're talking about the case in Michigan. Parents of Michigan school shooting suspect charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter. The parents of a 15-year-old boy accused of fatally shooting four classmates at a Michigan high school were criminally charged today. It's called an extraordinarily rare move to hold parents accountable when a minor uses their weapon in a school shooting. Matt is not defending the parents, but he's not convinced that these charges are going to bring anything constructive. He is also suggesting that the school is going to be in deep trouble because they knew they had a problem, but they let the kid go back to school and they didn't even search his backpack. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. We invite your participation in this conversation. Do you favor the idea of involuntary manslaughter charges against the parents for something their child did? Let's go to Scott on KVEC. Hi, Scott.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Matt Hoy.
Hi, Scott.
Hi. You know, I was just listening to you talk, Matt, and I had a scenario question. Let's say this Michigan kid was at home, and there's a break-in in the house. Let's say there's two robbers with guns. The kid is cornered in the house, but knows his dad just bought a gun, finds it, uses it, kills both intruders. His dad never told him about the gun, but he found it, used it. You know, is this? Well, I'm just giving a scenario question, but
so what's the question? What's the question, Scott?
Well, would the kid have the right to self-defense if his parents had a gun that he wasn't supposed to have access to, found it, used it, killed people, but it's in his property? Would the child or the kid be granted justice for protecting himself, but he wasn't supposed to use the gun in the first place? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. So, you know, I mentioned this earlier, and this is kind of why I'm against safe storage laws, because you can look them up. There are situations where 12, 13, 14-year-old kids, defended themselves or siblings or parent, you know, their parents, because they had access to a gun in the home, and the parents had taught them how to use it properly, how to fire it properly, and do all that. So in that situation, that's a situation where I'm kind of wary of these safe storage laws, because I think you need to know your kids.
Yeah. So
if your kids got mental issues, then I think it's more important. I think there's a higher danger to leave them with access to it than there is in the admittedly rare situation where you might have a home invasion. Now, having said that, certainly a minor has the right to defend themselves, just like an adult does. The minor could claim self-defense in the situation you describe. I don't think a prosecutor would even think of prosecuting them or the parents for having violated the safe storage law if there was one in place in the situation you describe.
Yeah, but Scott, what about the parents in this case? Should they be charged with involuntary manslaughter?
Well, what I'm looking at is, what is the kid's motive? Okay, was he bullied? Did social media have anything to do with it? At the same time, the school being liable as well. I mean, his attorney or their attorney is going to have to come up with all these scenarios of who to blame, and I don't really know what. Like I said, what is the motive? Has he said anything? I don't know. Matt?
What could the possible motive be to take a gun and kill four other high school students?
There's been reports he was bullied, but again, the solution is not, for the kid to grab a gun. Yeah. That may be a mitigating factor when it comes to sentencing or something. It may be, it may be an exacerbating factor when it comes to civil suits against the school for allowing this to happen. Although, like I said, the fact they didn't search him and the fact they didn't, immediately suspend him are much worse, from the standpoint of the families of the victims who are going to undoubtedly be filing lawsuits.
All right, fair enough. Scott, thank you very much for calling in. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Jennifer is in Oceano on KVEC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Dave. Hi,
Jennifer.
Matt.
Hi.
Can you hear me? I'm driving.
Hi. Yes.
Great. I think absolutely they should be charged, the parents. So my question to Matt is, if this young man had gone to somebody who was not related to him in any way and asked them to buy him a gun, and he took that gun out and killed four people with it, wouldn't that person who purchased the gun for the teenager be not only liable, but an accessory or aiding and abetting? I mean, to me, this is a slam dunk that the parents, just because they're parents, they shouldn't be able to get off with something that if they weren't related.
Yeah. Matt?
Well, certainly if he'd gone to a stranger and asked a stranger to buy him a gun, and the stranger did, the stranger's committing felonies. It's a federal crime. It's called a straw purchase. It's illegal. There have been numerous cases where straw purchase, you know, the people who purchased a gun for a minor who weren't related to them were charged and convicted. It happened at the Columbine shooters, where the guy who provided them with their guns was prosecuted and spent time in prison. As far as it goes with parents, you know, the thing with parents buying guns and, you know, for their kids, you know, it's may not be the case for you. It's probably not the case for a good 55-60% of Americans. But there are a lot of Americans who use firearms, who go hunting, who buy and, you know, and teach their children how to use guns.
Yeah, right.
They need to be responsible with the access to them, responsible with for raising their children right. But just, you know, buying a little .22 rifle for your you know, son or daughter so they learn how to, you know, shoot a gun, that's not criminal. I don't think anybody's going to try and make that criminal.
Let's go back to Jennifer.
Well, I would agree with that. That's not what happened in this case. This wasn't a rifle for hunting. This was a handgun for protection. That's what you usually use a handgun for. But if they got it for their son, they seemed to know that he was buying ammunition for it or searching for ammunition for it. So there must have been some kind of discussion with the parents as to why he needed protection in this way. And they made the absolute worst choice that parents can make in this situation, as far as I can see. I would agree with Matt that the school made some incredibly bad choices as well, and that they should have to have some kind of, you know, they're going to have to pay for it in some way.
All right, Jennifer, thank you very much for your perspective. Thank you for calling in. Mike is in Morro Bay on KVEC. Hi, Mike.
David.
Mike.
Craig, and your guest.
Hi.
Hi. I was thinking, for some reason I'm getting an echo on this phone, but anyway, I was, now we have an echo. When she texted her son, and she said, you know, I'm not mad, don't get caught. So maybe she came home, saw the pistol was gone, texted her son, said, hey, don't get caught. I'm not mad at you, but don't get caught. And
that's not what happened. Matt, explain what happened.
You hold them responsible. For God's sake, they killed four children.
Yeah. Matt,
I mean, and you guys, everybody keeps making different scenarios about this. How about we just talk about what happened? That's what happened.
What happened?
That fellow went in there and killed the children.
So do we hold the parents responsible, Mike? That's the question.
We should hold everybody responsible at this point. Those are four children. David, if those were your children, would you not be looking at this a little different?
I mean,
in a more honest way. And then we keep saying, oh, we need more police. We need more police.
It reminds me
of a leak in a dam. So you just hire a bunch of people to catch the water. How about we plug the dam? And that reason why we can plug the dam is start paying a little more attention to our American citizens and trying to curb this stuff that's going on and the way that we're totally abusing all these people. I mean, our country is abusing our people somehow or another. They're just
all right.
Making their minds go crazy.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Grace is in Paso on KVEC. Hi, Grace.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Grace.
I just want to say I totally agree with the parents being, yes, held responsible. And he's a minor, for God's sake. Even if you're going to buy your kid a gun, why would you buy your 15-year-old a gun to begin with? But he had intention. Your guy that called earlier that said, oh, well, what if he was defending himself? He wasn't. He went to the school with a clear intention of shooting up some people. And, you know, and the schools also should be held responsible as well, the district, because they didn't protect those kids either by not looking in the backpack, by not suspending him, by just letting the kid. So everybody failed that kid.
Matt, you know, yeah. Grace, stay with us, Grace. Matt, how do you respond to Grace?
Well, I agree that there was lots of failures, you know, all the way around. You know, parents buy firearms for kids that are 6 years old. They're small little cricket 22s. So I don't see the actual purchasing of the firearm in and of itself being necessarily a problem. Why it's a problem is because you don't do that as a responsible parent when your kid has emotional problems, which obviously this kid did, and they knew it ahead of time. That's
so when your 6-year-old child goes and brings a gun to his preschool and shoots up the whole class, who's responsible? The parents. They bought the gun. It's a minor child.
Well, if you're referring to Newton, if you're referring to the Newton massacre, the guy killed his mom first to get access to those guns. He didn't have, you know, it's not that the parents gave him that gun.
Well, that's a different story then. You know, but you're saying it's okay to buy a 6-year-old a gun, you know, whatever, whether it's a BB gun or not. You know, if the kid goes and shoots somebody's eye out, who are you going to hold responsible? The kid that didn't know what the hell he was doing at 6 years old, you know, or a 15-year-old that probably was charged as a minor and not even do any time. So who pays
There's
for
responsibility
it?
Attached as a parent, of course, but... you know, as tragic as these are, and as much as I hate coming on Dave's show and talking about this, of all things, there are millions of parents who do it right, who have purchased firearms for their kids. Their kids learn how to use them responsibly. Their kids are raised, you know, in a way that they are not having these mental problems, or if they do, you know, you don't buy guns for people with mental problems. And that's where
so how do you distinguish who has a mental problem and who doesn't?
And who decides that? At what point? Is it the guy who sells the gun? Is it the parent?
I'm not sure the guy who sells the gun has any way of necessarily knowing. I certainly think, you know, the parents should be, you know, responsible for that. I think, you know, I think the school needs to be, again, this. I think we're going to find out this kid had been in trouble for years, probably. I don't know if this is going to work with, you know, this may be the best case there is these parents, because these are, they made mistakes all over the place. They did lots of things they in no way should have done, but... And maybe this is the case where you can prosecute them for involuntary manslaughter and get it to stick. I'd be hesitant to, you know, take this case and make it a blanket thing going forward.
Let's see what happens. Grace, thank you very much for calling in. Before the next call, I want to read this text. Rob on the Solberg line, I lost a friend to a mass shooting incident. At this point, I'm just numb to these incidents. Your guess offers a lot of blame, but no actual solutions. If not prosecuting the parents, what about gun owners or providers having to provide liability insurance? Car owners, doctors, contractors, etc., all have to carry liability insurance. Why not gun owners?
Well, does he mean murder insurance? So I can murder people now if I have the insurance? I know he doesn't, but you get... people who are against the Second Amendment, they take both these positions. There are groups and companies that provide basically, you know, self-defense liability insurance for gun owners, and gun owners pay for it. I pay for it, that kind of insurance. And sometimes you'll get politicians who say, you need to have that. and we're going to require a law that you have that kind of insurance. And then there, and then 15 minutes later, you get another anti-gun politician who says, oh, if you buy that insurance, that's proof that you want to kill somebody.
All right. Matt Hoy on this broadcast. His website is restrictedarms.com. We're talking about this case in Michigan and whether or not the parents should be held accountable for what happened with their 15-year-old mass shooter son. Paul's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Paul. Matt.
Hi.
Hey, Matt, just for clarification, Adam Lanza, who is the killer in Newtown, he had access to those guns to kill his mom, right? So he actually had the gun, killed his mom, but he had access to the guns before he killed his mom, not after. He didn't kill her to get the gun. He had the gun, killed her. That's the deal. And it was well known at the local shooting range that she would take him to the shooting range so he could shoot his guns. So that's one thing. And then the other thing, Matt, if you're really not on the right side of an argument, if you have to keep contradicting yourself. And right now you keep contradicting yourself.
How's he contradicting himself?
Well, he's saying that people that need to buy insurance for guns, like liability insurance for a gun. If you're going to have a gun, you need to have liability insurance. He says, well, then the only reason why to buy the liability insurance is to murder people. Well, that would be like saying I buy car insurance so that I could crash my car.
I think Matt was being sarcastic, not to put words in your mouth.
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with his analogy.
Right.
It's not me making that claim. It is mostly Democratic politicians who have made that claim. You've got some who've said you need to have this liability insurance, and then you've had other Democratic politicians 15 minutes later who say that if you're buying this liability insurance and they want to make it illegal because that just encourages you to shoot someone. Democratic politicians, not me.
Paul?
Well, Matt, let's take Democratic politicians out of it. What's wrong with if you're going to have guns? What's wrong with having liability insurance if you're going to have guns? Just like if you have a car, you have liability insurance. So what is wrong with that?
You're talking on the radio right now. Should you have liability insurance for slander?
Right.
What?
Do I have liability insurance? Well, I don't know if the station has any kind of coverage or not. I don't know.
This is a problem.
It's a constitutional right. Requiring someone to buy something, to buy a private product, in order to exercise a constitutional right, is wrong, whatever the right is.
But you have to buy insurance to drive
a car.
That's my position on. All right. Paul, what else?
Well, Matt, you also have constitutional right of freedom to travel. And that, mm-hmm. for a lot of people, that's a car. Well, yeah. You still have to have liability insurance. And see, that's the problem, Matt. See, if you're flailing here, you're taking all kinds
flailing.
Of different positions, that's because you're on the wrong side of this issue, Matt.
All right. Okay. All right. Paul, thank you. Let me squeeze in David. Hi, David.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I got about a minute.
Hey, I don't even understand what Matt is supporting. What is his position? What is he trying to argue for?
I hear him saying that the parents were stupid and acted irresponsibly, but he doubts that they'll be able to prosecute it successfully. He's also holding the school accountable for the way they mishandled it.
And he doesn't think parents should be responsible. Yeah, we want to fix this problem, because I think that's kind of going back to the other guy's argument that just got hung up. He's saying at the same point, Matt, if you want to fix the problem, it's not the parents who are training their kids correctly that you were talking to that are buying the 22s and the BB guns and the pellet guns and training them effectively. That's fantastic, and it's probably not their kids that are going to be murdering other kids. We're talking about the parents who are not teaching their kids correctly that they should be held responsible. I think it's a brilliant idea. Make the parents part of the problem. Help them solve the problem.
All right,
I don't understand how you can argue against that.
David, I wish I had more time to give you, but I don't, because I need to give Matt Hoy about 45 seconds for a final thought, sir.
Going back to the car analogy, you have to have liability insurance. Driving a car is not a constitutional right. You can take a plane and not have insurance. You can take a bus. You can buy an Uber. That analogy is always a horrible one. These parents are horrible parents. They're going to pay financially. I'm just not sure. And again, Dave, maybe you should have a lawyer on at how the prosecutor is going to be able to prove this, because it seems like a lot of the things that the prosecutor is alleging against the parents could just as easily be alleged against the school officials. So
we're out of time.
Why isn't the principal being charged with the involuntary manslaughter as well, and the counselor,
Matt,
and the school resource officer?
Matt Hoy, we always appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us, sir. RestrictedArms.com is the website. Thank you, Matt. We'll be back with more of the Dave Congleton Show. We are off to ABC Radio News. We check in for a few minutes with Heather Hoff from Mothers for Nuclear. Then I've got all these text messages. I want to give Craig a chance to weigh in. It's our Friday night open line. We got a lot to talk about. Stick around. I'm Dave Congleton.